بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. وأنا مع لين يا عظيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers in Islam, after the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask Allah to enlighten our hearts with the great knowledge, the knowledge of Islam and the Iman and the taqwa and the fear of Allah, and to give us the great understanding of this religion and the understanding of this lesson. As I promised you from last week, tonight is a beginning for a series into the hereafter. A series of lessons that will sit down here in the house of Allah talking about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us about death and the hereafter and the paradise and the hellfire. And as I saw, it's reasonable for me to start with an introduction with this series of death. And to start with the beginning of human being, with the beginning of mankind, the son of Adam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the human beings in the Quran, Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, the children of Adam. To start with what was before the creation of Adam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah was and there was nothing there. Allah was and Allah existed and nothing existed. And then Allah Azza wa Jal created his throne, and his throne was on water. That's how the narration says. How big is the throne of Allah? How does it look like? This is something out of our mind capacity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the qalam. The qalam is the pen. And he created the lawh al-mahfuz, the protected board. And he ordered the qalam to write on the board what's going to happen from that time to the hereafter, to the day of judgment. So the qalam, the pen, started to write and write and write every single thing that would take place from that time to the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what he described for himself, a kursi. The translation of kursi in Arabic means chair. But that kursi that Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned in the Quran, which the Shaykh just recited in the surah, it's in the Isha right now, in Ayat al-Kursi, or Ayat al-Kursi, there's a verse called Ayat al-Kursi. No one knows the description of it. How big of it? How big is it? What's the description of it? And so on. This is all to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But with the size, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, between the earth and the heaven, there's 500 years journey. And with the first heaven to the second heaven is another 500 years journey. And the second to the third 500. And the third to the fourth 500. And the fourth to the fifth 500. And the fifth to the sixth. And the sixth to the seventh. They're all 500. Another narration, it says the first heaven, the earth to the first heaven, the dunya, to the first heaven is like a ring in the desert. And the first heaven to the second heaven is like a ring in the desert. So on, so on, so on. Until the seventh heaven. And all the seventh heaven to the kursi is like a ring in the desert. And the kursi into the arsh is like a ring in the desert. That's how great it is. So it's beyond our imagination. And you have no right to think about how does it look like. Does it look like this and does it look like that? Because it's not your experience. It's not something that you know. It's not something that you've experienced. You have no right to think about it, but you have the right to think about the greatness of it, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of it. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, as he said in the Quran al-Kareem in many verses. خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام. He created the heavens and the earth. And what's between the heavens and the earth? In 6 days. How many heavens? 7 heavens. How many earths? Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ. He is the one that created 7 heavens, and from the earth, like them. So he created 7 heavens. He created 7 heavens. 7 earths, 7 heavens. And what's between them in 6 days? He started the creation of the heavens and the earth on Saturday. And then Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And ended this creation with the creation of Adam after Asr on Friday. He created on Saturday the sand, the dust. And then the day after, he created the mountains. And the day after, he created the trees. And the day after, he created the haram, or the disliked. And the day after, he created what's liked, what's acceptable. And the day after, on Thursday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the animals. And on Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam before Maghrib and after Asr. He created Adam from the dust of this earth. It's narrated that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Jibreel alayhi salam to grab dust from the earth. So Jibreel obeyed Allah's orders and came down to earth to grab dust from different parts from the earth. To grab dust or sand, turab, from different parts of the earth. So when Jibreel came to take the dust, the earth asked Allah for refuge from him. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, you've asked refuge, so he left. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered Mika'il to grab dust from the earth. So Mika'il descended down, came down, to grab dust from different parts of the earth. So the earth asked refuge, asked Allah for refuge from him, so he left her. And then Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Malak al-Mawt, the angel of death, to come down and to take dust from different parts of the world. So the angel of death came down to grab a handful of dust from different parts of the earth. So the earth asked Allah for refuge from him. So the angel of death did not listen to earth, and he took the dust and brought it back to Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal asked him, why didn't you keep away when she asked refuge? So he said, Ya Allah, your order to me is much greater than what the earth told me. So he took dust from different parts of the earth, and that's why the children of Adam came out in different colors, where you find the Chinese in the east and the Europeans in the west and the south and the north, with all these different colors and the different looks. And Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam alayhi salam on Friday before Maghrib and after Asr. His full creation was done at then on Friday, and that's why Friday is the holy day for Muslims and the greatest day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal has created Adam in it, and is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal took Adam down to earth from the paradise, and the day that Allah Azza wa Jal will bring the day of judgment on that day, Friday. Before Adam alayhi salam, there was angels. So the angels were a creation before Adam. And also there was the shayateen, the jinn, before Adam. Now what's the story of Adam alayhi, what's the story of Iblis and the angels before Adam alayhi salam? There's different narrations. A lot of stories are mentioned on that. Especially narrations that come from Bani Israel. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حدثوا عن بني إسرائيل ولا حرج. بلغوا عني ولو آية وحدثوا عن بني إسرائيل ولا حرج. Preach and spread the word about me and about this religion, even if it was one verse, and speak about the narration of Bani Israel without any embarrassment, without any sin. What's that, the narration of Bani Israel? It's which is found in the Bible and the Torah, which is found in the Injil and the Torah from the narrations of the people of Israel. You could narrate those narrations if these narrations did not contradict with our religion. if it's stories about prophets or stories before Adam or after Adam, if it's things that do not contradict or go against our belief, we are allowed to narrate those narrations in a position where you don't have to believe in it or you don't deny it. So you just listen to it and take the best from it. So some of these things you find that a lot in the books of the Mufassirin, a lot in the books of Targhib and Tarhib, and a lot of those books that talk about the hereafter and the Day of Judgment. One of the narrations that talks about Iblis, the Iblis was a tribe from the angels who was called the Jinn, and his name was Azazil. And he was the leader of that tribe, and they were in charge of the paradise. And when he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating Adam, and Allah was creating Adam in different forms and steps, he was all the time going around Adam looking at the figure and the creation of Adam. And when he saw the creation of Adam empty from inside, he knew that this person will be dragged on, or he'll be influenced easy by the environment around him. When Iblis saw Adam empty from inside, he knew that this person is weak to fall into traps and to fall into the wrong things. It's easy to be influenced. So when Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam, they all prostrated to Adam except Iblis, except Azazil at that time. And then Allah Azza wa Jal asked Iblis, why didn't you prostrate to you? I ordered you to prostrate. So he said, Ya Allah, I am better than him. You have created me from fire, from flame, and you created him from dust. So I have the privilege of him prostrating to me, not me prostrating to him. I'm better than him. Why should I prostrate to him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him for him disobeying his orders, and Allah Azza wa Jal descended him to earth. And Allah promised him the hellfire, and then he put the challenge. They are, Allah, give me that time to the hereafter. I'll make every single one of them go astray, except who you choose. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنَهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except, Ya Allah, who you choose, who you keep to yourself, I can't go near them. But the rest, I'm going to change them. I make them be influenced by the wrong. I make them disobey you, so you could see who's better, me or them. So that's how it started. Another narration, it says, no, Iblis wasn't from the angels. Iblis was from the jinn. Where there's a narration that says, before the creation of human beings, there used to be a creation of the jinn, of the spirits. And they had their life, and the Day of Judgment came on them. And the only good person, or the only good jinn out of all of them, was Iblis. And because of that privilege, Allah Azza wa Jal made him with the angels. So it comes all these narrations about Iblis. So the creation of Adam alayhi salam was on Friday. And Iblis la'anahu Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam. He refused, and all the angels prostrated, so Allah punished him for that and cursed him and took him down to earth. Now Adam alayhi salam, before our existence on this earth, we were in a different world. It's called Alam al-Arwah, the world of souls. كُنَّ فِي عَالَمْ الْأَرْوَاحِ, the world of souls. We were all created, not physically, but spiritually, before our existence at this time, from the time of Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, is when he wiped on the back of Adam with his right. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interprets that verse in Surah Al-A'raf, وَأَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. Allah says, and when we took that word from the children of Adam, the answer, your God. So they said, yes, Ya Allah, Ya our God, Ya our Lord. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in the hadith, that Allah wiped the back of Adam with his right. And all the generations and the descent of Adam appeared before Adam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal brought all the angels to witness that. To witness that event, to witness that questioning, where Allah asked the generation of Adam, the children of Adam, "Ant are your Lord?" So they said, "Yes, Ya Allah, Ya our Lord, Ya our Lord." So Allah Azza wa Jal said to them in front of the angels, "So do not come back to me in the hereafter saying that we did not know that you are our Lord." So Allah Azza wa Jal had the evidence against the children of Adam, who goes astray or disbelieves in Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah had taken that pledge from them and that questioning, that aren't I your Lord? So they said, yes, Ya Allah, Ya our Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created and had assigned the people of the paradise and assigned the people of the hellfire. And Adam alayhi salam saw that with his own eyes, where he saw people with darkness and saw people with lightness. There's people with darkness to the hellfire, the people with lightness to the paradise. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah had created the paradise and created its people, created the hellfire and created its people. A man stands up and asks the question that every single one of us right here now is asking himself. Then Ya Allah, what do we need to do if you already had assigned everyone, or if you already had created people for the paradise, and if you already had created people for the hellfire, if you already chosen these people to the paradise, and if you already chosen these people to the hellfire. So alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah, when He creates someone for the paradise, He'll use him to do the deeds of the people of the paradise, and He'll make him enter the paradise. When Allah Azza wa Jalla creates the people of the hellfire, He'll use them to do the deeds of the people of the hellfire, so they'll do the deeds of the people of the hellfire, so they'll end up in the hellfire. This is the qada Allah and qadru. This is the divine destiny that Allah Azza wa Jalla had ordained. And this is the option that Allah created for the human being. And as I said, Allah had created the good, and as He created the evil. Allah Azza wa Jalla created the good, created the bad, created the halal, created the haram. It's part of our creed to believe that. It's not from our creed to say, Wallahi, only the good, Allah created the bad, it came out from Himself. Where did it come from? Where did the bad come from? Did it just pop out by itself? That means there's another Lord that created it? Or it's at Lord itself? No. Yes, we believe Allah created the good. Yes, we believe Allah created the bad. Both of them are from Allah Azza wa Jal. He created the good for us to follow, the bad for us to abstain away from. As he said in the Quran al-Kareem, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is the one that created death and life to test you. He is the best. To test you to see who does the best to enter the paradise and who does the bad to get to the hellfire. So it's all a test. He created the good for us to grab onto and for the bad, for us to test us to see, do we really follow Allah's orders that we would not get to this bad, or we don't care about Allah and His orders that we get to this bad. But as a respect for our Lord Almighty and Glory, we say the good is from Allah and the bad is from us. That's only as a respect. But as a creation, Allah created both. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Say both of them are from Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah An-Nisa. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put Adam in the paradise, and the story drags on, that Adam disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or not disobeyed, maybe, that's not the respectable word for the Prophet. Adam made a mistake, he made a mistake in the paradise, so he descended down to earth, and then the life drags on. Now the question that everyone asks, okay, is about the life, why are we put on this earth? Okay, as we said, first stage you went through is the stage of the soul. عالم الأرواح. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الأرواح جنود مجندة. The souls are soldiers. Soldiers that know each other. And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَمَا اتَّفَقَ مِنْهَا اَتَلَفَ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ مِنْهَا افْتَرَفَ. Any of those souls know each other in the world of souls that know each other in this world. And any of those souls that don't or dislike each other in the world, they will dislike each other in this world. So sometimes you see someone, they don't even know, but subhanAllah, you start to love him. And sometimes you see someone that you don't even know, and subhanAllah, you hate him. This is mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, that your soul, these souls were together before you exist in this world. These souls were in a different world. Some of them knew each other and they became friends, and some of them knew each other and disliked each other. This reflects on your life in this world. Alayhi salatu wasalam says, الأرواح جنود مجندة فما اتفق منها اتلف وما افترق منها اختلف. The souls are soldiers that meet each other. Any souls that met each other and became friends or got along with each other, they get along with this world. Any soul that disagreed with each other, they disagree with each other in this world. Okay, now the other question is, which one is created before, the soul or the physical body? Of course the soul. The soul is created, then Allah creates this physical body to put this soul in it. And then this physical body just carries the soul for a temporary time that Allah Azza wa Jal puts from the moment that you are put in your mother's womb to the day you die. and then it goes back. So this is the body. The body is just a temporary use for the soul in this world. After this world, your body just goes away, and then now it's your soul. So who's responsible? Your body or your soul? It's your soul. So where is the nafs? The nafs is your soul. Who calls for the good is your soul. And who calls for the evil is your soul. So it's all goes back to the soul. So after you finish from alam al-arwah, after you finish from the world of souls or spirits or whatever you call it, now you went into another world, which is your mother's womb. Your mother's womb. You start from a semen, a sperm, and then you start growing and growing within 9 months and you become a human being. Okay? The first 4 months, there's no soul. Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the human being is created the first 40 days as a nutfah. Then they become, a nutfah is like a semen, and then it becomes like a clot, and then it becomes like a mudra, like a biting meat. And it becomes a meat within 40 days, three different 40 days of process. 40 days, that's equal to 4 months. After 4 months, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends down the angels. They blow into him. He becomes a human being now. He's got a life. And then they order to write for him his rizq, right for him his rizq, which is sustenance, where he ends in this world, right for him when he's going to die, and right for him, is he a good person or a bad person? In a way, is he going to live a good life or is he going to live a bad life? Now the other question is, why do I have to do? What happens to our choice? Yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla created the bad and the good, and he's put something in between, which is your choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. That we had given him the option to choose whether he's a thankful person or a kafir. So he is the good, he is the bad, he is the happiness, he is the sadness, and you are in between to choose. You direct yourself, you direct yourself here, you direct yourself there. Tab, how does Allah Azza wa Jalla know? Okay, that's something about Allah's knowledge, not your knowledge or my knowledge. How does Allah know? It's Allah's knowledge. He knows what you're going to do before you even take the option. Because He's the Lord of this universe, and He is the master of this universe, and He is the ruler and the controller and the creator of this universe. He knows everything. How does it happen? Our mind can't think of it like that. Our mind are too restricted, too limited to think about that. But Allah had given you the choice. Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you the choice, whether you go right or whether you go left. And because of that choice, you're going to be judged in the hereafter. Because of that choice, you're going to be questioned in the hereafter. Now, after you go through that process of 9 months in mother's womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking after you come into this world. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلْ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. He is the one that took it out from your mother's womb. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. So He gave you the eye, the sight. And He gave you the hearing and gave you the heart. So thank Him for it. He gave you all that. And He's not going to quit. And then He gave you the time from the moment you come from your mother's womb all the way to the age of puberty to get yourself ready for the questioning. So you've got all these 14 years or 15 years to the age of puberty for you to prepare yourself so you start worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal the way He should be worshipped. So He's given you that time. So it's not the moment you come from your mother's womb, khalas, you're going to be questioned and judged. He's given you so much time for you to prepare yourself for those questionings that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to question you. You live in this world for how long? As long as Allah wants. So the day that you'll die is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal had written on you. So death is not in your hands. Okay, you could die in the first year, you could die after 100 years, you could die after 1,000 years. So Allah Azza wa Jalla had written on you the day you die. After you die, now you are transferred from a world that you were living in into a different world, which is Aam al-Barzakh, which is a world that you're going to be judged and questioned now. So see, this is the process that you go through. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down with the companions, and then he started to say, alayhi salatu wa sallam, well, he grabbed the stick and started to line lines on the ground. He drew a box and he made a line in the middle of that box. So alayhi salatu wasalam started to point at those lines. That line in the middle of the box is the human being and his age. And that box is what the human being is living around, this world. And the ending of that box is where the human being ends. And the beginning of that box is where the human being begins. And then sallallahu alayhi wasalam started to draw another box draw another lines in the middle of those middle lines. And then he said, this is what the human being gets free from the sins. This is what the human being gets free from the sins. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to all the time talk about death. Where sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْثِرُوا مِن ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِن لَذَّاتِ. Constantly remind yourselves about the destroyer of desires. So alayhi salatu wasalam described the death as the destroyer of desires. Why? When people think about death, they don't want to think about the desires anymore. When people think about death, they don't want to think about the shahawat anymore. When people think about death, they don't want to think about this world anymore. They start thinking about the hereafter. And that's why Abu Qutada, rahimahullah, he said, when people or when someone thinks about death, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives him three things. Number one thing is al-istijalu bi tawbah. He wants to make tawbah on the spot. And number second thing is al-rida bil qalil. He's very content on what he gets in this world. And number three thing is al-inshighalu bil ibadah. And he'll be occupying himself in the worship. And if someone does not think about death or cares about death, Allah takes away from him three things. The opposite of those three things. Allah takes away from him the tawbah. Allah takes away from him being content, and Allah takes away from him the enthusiasm into worship. When someone thinks about death, what does he think about? He doesn't think about money anymore. He doesn't think about houses anymore. Doesn't think about women or cars or anything anymore. He starts to think about Allah, and when he thinks about Allah, he starts to think, what have I prepared to face Allah Azza wa Jal with? And he gets enthusiastic to start praying. He gets enthusiastic to repent to Allah. He gets enthusiastic to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when people forget about thinking about death, they start to get occupied in this world. And they'll never be content. I want more, I want more. Why? Because they think they live forever. But if you think you're dying tomorrow, if you think you're dying next year, or you've got 1 year to live, you're not going to think about how much money you have and how much money you've gained. You'll be content with what you have because you've only got a short time. And look at this beautiful hadith that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, النَّاسُ النِّيَامِ فَإِذَا مَاتُوا انْتَبَهُ. People are dead, but when they die, they wake up. People are asleep. People are asleep. When they die, they wake up. And subhanAllah, it's true. We are living in this world. It's true, we've got our eyes opened, so we're awake, but we are still asleep because we're not preparing anything for the hereafter. The moment that we die is the moment they're going to wake up and say, I've missed out on worshipping Allah. I've missed out on doing this to Allah. I've missed out on following the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've missed out on doing this and I've missed out on doing that. He does not think about anymore about the money and about the dunya, about anything else. All he thinks about is the religion that he did not give its rights. So people are asleep. When they die, they wake up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they die, they wake up to Allah azza wa jal. So ikhwani, let's wake up before that time and wake up and regret. Because it's a time of early regretting and regretting and regretting. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the grave calls its owner every day. Every day, every morning that the sun rises on, the grave calls and says, oh, the son of Adam, did you forget me? Did you forget me, oh, the son of Adam? And your ending is coming back to me? Did you forget me? And I am the house of loneliness. Did you forget me? And I am the house of worms. Did you forget me? And I am the house of dust. Did you forget me, O the son of Adam? Where are you going, O the son of Adam? Where are you going? What are you occupying your life with? Are you occupying your life with the money that you're going to be questioned about? Are you occupying your life with the haram that you're going to be judged for? Are you occupying your life with this and that that you are forgetting? Did you forget me? I'm the main thing in your life, O the son of Adam. Wake up to yourself and remember me. You are coming back to me. Your ending is to me. Do something. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the son of Adam is put into that grave, if it's a righteous soul, the grave says, Ya ahlan wa sahlan, you are very welcomed in me. You are the best soul to be walking over me. And if the time you come to me, I'm going to take care of you and protect you, and I'm going to show you the best things and the good things that I have prepared for you. And if it's a bad soul, it says, La ahlan wa la sahlan feek. There is no welcoming, there is no goodness to you. You are the worst soul to walk at the surface, at the top of my surface. And if you come to me today, I'm going to squeeze you and squash you. I'm going to show you all the evil things that I'll do to you. This is what the grave does, ya akhwani. The grave, as the scholars say, the al-maut, huwa haqq al-haqiqa, is the truth of all truth. The truth of all truth. There is no illusion in that. The maut, the death, is the truth beyond all truth. Something that no one could run away from. You could run away from everything except death. You could escape from everything except death. You could go to anywhere you want, but you can't run from death. Because that's your ending. Ya akhwani, the whole idea of us starting this series of death and the hereafter is not for the sake of us sitting down and entertaining ourselves from what we hear about death and the hereafter. Wallah, it was a nice lesson about this and I was listening about that. But akhwani, we are talking about facts that we're all going to face. We are talking about a truth that we're all going to be in. Something that every single one of us must prepare for. Something that every single one of us must wake up on themselves and realize, that's where my ending is. I have to do something proper about it, or else I'll be like those people who regret. The idea of this lesson, ya ikhwan, is for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through death. Alayhi salatu wa salam. When he used to speak about death, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to cry, that some of them, their hearts used to split from fear. Alayhi salatu wa salam once stood on a minbar. And then he said, O people, attat as-sama wa huqa laha an ta'at. The heavens had shook and it's got its rights to shake. There is not even one hand span empty without an angel prostrating or bound to Allah from the fear of Allah. And then alayhi salatu wa salam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. By the name of Allah, which my soul in his hands. If you know what I know, if you know a bit of what I know, you'd have cried a lot and laughed a bit. And you ask Allah to your woman, that sexual desire, the strongest desire that you have in your life will be dead in you, that you ask Allah to your woman, and just go to the mountains on the path, just to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum covered their faces with their amama, with their cloth. And they start to cry, that the companions described themselves. They were hearing the noise of crying to Allah Azza wa Jal. From the fear. What a moment. It's not an easy moment, ya ikhwani. It's not a moment that I just were only thinking about. It's a moment that we're all going to face. Why is when you go to a doctor and the doctor sees you've got this sickness or this disease and it tells you only got 6 months to 1 year to live, why do you repent to Allah Azza wa Jal and worship Allah Azza wa Jal and you are so straight on this deen? Do you need a doctor to tell you that? Do you need a human being to tell you that? It's sufficient for you, for a human being to tell you that, but it's not enough for Allah Azza wa Jal to tell you that. It's not enough for Allah Azza wa Jal to tell you, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. No soul knows what's going to gain tomorrow. No soul knows what is going to die tomorrow. That's not enough for you to hear that from your Creator, the one that's got death and life in his hands, to tell you that you don't know when you're going to die and where you're going to die. And it's enough for you, for a doctor, to tell you that tomorrow you're going to die. How many teenagers were fit and strong enough, sitting down with us, laughing and giggling and doing what they were doing, and stronger than us, and the next day they were gone? And how many elders we thought they'll die and Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them an extra life? So it's not in our hands, it's in the hands of Allah. But what's in your hands is to worship Allah. What's in your hands is to repent to Allah. What's in your hands is to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the believer, ya ikhwani, has husn al-dhan billah. He all the time has the good thoughts about Allah Almighty and glory. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam says, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَنَا عِنْدَ حُسْنِ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِهِ. I am in the good thoughts of my servant. If my servant thinks good of me, I am good. And he'll get what he thinks of me. And if he thinks that I'll do this to him, he'll get what he thinks about me. The true believer, ya akhwan, has the best thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. He has the best thoughts about Allah, that Allah will forgive him. He has the best thoughts about Allah, that Allah will make him enter the paradise. He has the best thoughts about Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal will make it easy on him in this world and the hereafter. And it's not only about having the best thoughts. Because one of the scholars was asked that this person had the good thoughts about Allah, but he died in a bad situation. He died as a fasiq. So that scholar said, if he really had the good thoughts about Allah, he'll be as good as what Allah Azza wa Jalla thinks about him too. If you think good about Allah and you think Allah will give you this, then you'll be good. So husn al-dhan billah, to have the good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I want to repent to you. Ya Allah, accept my repentance and have the good thoughts that Allah will accept your repentance. Ya Allah, I want to enter the paradise and have the good thoughts. Allah Azza wa Jalla make you enter the paradise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about a man, they had committed all the sort of corruption and sins. And at the time when he was dying, he was on his deathbed. So he asked his children, how good of a father was I? So they said, oh father, you were one of the best fathers that we've met. You are the best father we had. You are the father of this and you are the father of that. So he said, since I'm that, then obey my orders if I order you. When I die, which is I'm very nearby, when I die, burn me until I turn to ashes. When I turn into ashes, divide half of me into oceans and half of me into the sea. So his children start the question and said, do what I tell you. I have never ever done anything good. And if Allah Azza wa Jal has a grip on me, he'll punish me a severe punishment. So when he died, his children done what their father ordered them to do. They burnt him until he turned into ashes. They put half of him in the ocean, the other half on land. So Allah, the Lord of this universe, the one that created him from nothing, got him from something. He created him from nothing. So it's not hard on Allah Azza wa Jalla to bring him from something. As the non-believers used to come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grabbing the bones, the old bones, and then crushing the bones in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, oh Muhammad, you claim that your Lord will bring us back after we're dead? So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, tell them the one that created it the first time, bring him the second time. The one that created them from nothing will bring him from something. So Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered the ashes on land and ashes on sea to get together and come back as he was. And then he stood before Allah. Allah asked him, he tells him, oh my servant, what made you do what you did? Did you know what you just did now? What made you do what you just did? So he says, ya Allah, I did that because I fear you. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I forgive you, get to the paradise. Because you had the good thoughts about me, you get what you get. So when someone thinks good about Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah gives him. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take two people from will take out from the hellfire two people. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will order these two to go back to the hellfire. So one of them will run to the hellfire and the other one will stay standing. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell the one that ran to the hellfire, why did you run to the hellfire? So say, ya Allah, I disobeyed you in this world, I don't want to disobey you in this dunya, I don't want to disobey you this time. And the other one, Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, why didn't you run to the hellfire when I ordered you? So he says, ya Allah, I had the good thoughts about you that once you take me out of it, you're never going to bring me back to it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells two of them, get to the paradise. So thinking good about Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Aisha wa Aisha, man ahabba liqa Allahi ahabba Allahu liqa'a. Wa man kariha liqa'a Allahi kariha Allahu liqa'a. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. So be from those ones who love to meet Allah. And ask Allah to make you from those ones who love to meet Allah. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal to be from those ones who love Allah and His Prophet more than anything else. Ya Allah, make us from them. Ameen. So whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. Whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. Whoever looks forward to meet Allah, Allah looks forward to meet him. Whoever does not look forward to meet Allah, Allah does not look forward to meet him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَنْ أَجْمَعَ عَلَى عَبْدِي أَمْنَيْنِ وَلَا خَوْفَيْنِ إِنْ أَمِنِنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخَفْتُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَإِنْ أَخَافَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَمِنْتُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Look what Allah says. He promises by His glory and greatness that He would never gather too security on His servant or two feet on his servants. If his servant feed Allah in this world, Allah Azza wa Jalla will secure him in the hereafter. And if he secured Allah Azza wa Jalla in this world, Allah will make him fee him in the hereafter. That means if you're secured in this world and you're relaxed, then you're not going to get that in the hereafter. And if you're fearing Allah in this world, then you'll be secured and go into the paradise in the hereafter. So kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abir sabil. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be in this world as a stranger or a transpasser, you just go through transit. Be in this world, you just go and pass. Be in this world, you're just a stranger. Do not live in this world as you're living forever. Do not live in this world as this is your eternal life. Now live in this world. Live in this world as you're dying tomorrow. And take from this world as you're living forever, as the Prophet said. Live in this world as you're dying tomorrow. And you keep on putting in your mind that you're dying tomorrow, so you constantly be with Allah Azza wa Jal. And take from this world as you're living forever. Do not say to yourself, خلاص, I'm taking enough. I'm just going to take that much and forget the rest. Take from this world as you're living forever. Yani work in this world as I'm living forever. Don't go for a job. Okay, I'm just applying for a job that lasts for one day or 2 days. No, apply for a job that lasts for the rest of your life. Okay, go and, you know, for example, buy something that lasts for the rest of your life. Well, I just want to buy this for today. Yani take from this world as you're living forever and live in this world as you're dying tomorrow. Live in this world as you turn tomorrow. So you constantly be thinking about death. فَيَخْوَانِي Let's implement the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ Constantly think about death. Constantly think about this time that you're meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly be in a position of fear. That ya Allah, I fear you. I don't want to go to the hellfire. And also the raja. يعني also have the hopes that ya Allah, I've got good hopes in you. They're going to forgive me and make me enter the paradise. عليه الصلاة والسلام also says, الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه وتمنى على الله الأماني. That the good and the smart and the wise man is the one that lives for the hereafter. يعني prepares for the hereafter. Works in this world to build his hereafter. And the dumb person, the stupid person, is the one that lives in this world as he's living forever and he doesn't care about the hereafter, thinking, خلاص, the hereafter is just coming, you know. As I met a lot of people, أخي, fear Allah, what are you doing? It's haram. Hey, oh, we're going to go to the paradise at the end. Sure, and you go into the paradise and get punished in the hellfire for thousands of years and get to the paradise. Do you think that's easy? You can't even have patience on 10 minutes of haram. You can have patience on 10,000 years in a paradise, in the hellfire. They can't even have patience in this world doing the haram. They can't even have that patience of stopping themselves from doing the haram. They're going to have that patience in the hellfire. See how insane people sometimes think. See how stupid people sometimes could think for the shaitan. فَيَخْوَانِي Think about the hereafter. Think about the hellfire. Think about it. Think about death. You might go today and sleep and not wake up tomorrow. Think about it, ikhwan. Every single day and every single moment. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will sit down in one gathering, as the companions say, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be asking Allah for forgiveness and repenting to Allah more than 100 times in one gathering. And that's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's the greatest man alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's the man that Allah had guaranteed paradise. In one gathering like this, he'll repeat saying, Allah maghfirli wa tub alayhi, ya Allah forgive me and accept my repentance more than 100 times. And he's the Prophet of Allah. Then what about us? فَيَخْوَانِ We need that more than anyone else. فَيَخْوَانِ inshaAllah, as we said today as an introduction. Next week, inshaAllah, next Monday, we'll get into details from the moment the human being dies into the moment he's put into the grave. And then from that time to the hereafter, and then at the moment of the hereafter, and then and so on and so on and so on, inshaAllah. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذ أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين